on some rock tuss, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat tuss, 8 o'clock.
This is Always Up Fantasy.
Jojo, this is your boy Rick Brog. Welcome to another episode of Ice Up Fantasy. We got a lot of things that we got to talk about that has happened the last few days. And with that, let me introduce to my panel.
What's going on, Bay Area? It's your boy, Dr. Mario.
What's going on, Bay Area? It's your boy, the real Jorge.
How's it going, guys? It's your boy, JJ.
Yo, what's going on, gentlemen? Now, let's go ahead and get into some major news that has happened the last couple of days.
On your way, Ice Up News.
Lots of trending topics today. Among one of the many headlines, former NFL superstar and current NFL Hall of Famer Deion Sanders was crushed for a strong take on player opt-outs. Deion Sanders went on Twitter and he tweeted the following: "All players opting out in all sports, please believe the game will go on without you. This is a business and don't you ever forget that. There's no one bigger than the game itself. Only the referees, umpires, and officials are that important that you can't play without them. Not you." Deion Sanders tweeted on Friday to his 1.1 million followers, and it drew nearly 13,000 retweets and comments, and most of them were not well received. He was met with heavy scrutiny by various players and other accounts with verified analysts and such. Among one of the many was a former NFL cornerback, Vontae Davis, who tweeted back to Deion Sanders, "Life is bigger than any game. Family always comes first, especially when their health is at risk. I think also it's very irresponsible on Deion's part, given everything that's going on in the world with the pandemic, to encourage players to not opt out and choosing the game over family, as Sanders is a born-again Christian and how strong he preaches family and religion." I will pass it on to my colleague Jorge. What are your thoughts on this?
Thank you for that, Dr. Mario. I have to disagree with Deion Sanders on this take. I don't think it's fair that Deion Sanders, who's not even an active player in the NFL, has to have an opinion. What do you have to say on this, JJ?
Thanks for that, Jorge. I'm 50-50 on it. I'm like, I see both ways because it is a business and the business is going to keep going without you. So you're pretty much risking your job, your career, your place in the team, because if someone else, your back outshine you, they might not need you. It's cheaper money. But at the same time, as a player, you don't want to risk your family's well-being, your own well-being, especially if you have a precondition or you have family members with precondition, you know, that affects you more. I can see where he's coming from. The NFL will go on, all right? It don't matter if it's the second string, the third string, it will go on. We will have games, but I don't blame people for, you know, opting out. You know, you always got to take care of you and your family first. So that's what I got to say about that.
This is Always Up Fantasy.
Well, as you all may know, the NBA is back. Yes, the Lakers clinch the number one seed in the West, and the Bucks clinch number one seed in the East, and the Pelicans got eliminated from the playoffs. I believe everybody wanted to see Zion Williamson tear the rim off somebody's court, but it's not going to happen. Sucks. Has potential, but my take on Zion Williamson, he's a very raw version of Blake Griffin when he came out of the league. More of a dunker, power player. If he develops a jumper, he'll be unstoppable. But just, you know, a little reminder to all Bay Area fans, the Warriors were in 5 straight NBA finals. Let's not forget that. And to be honest, I don't give a about who's going to be in the NBA finals this year.
But we just got to give everyone else a shot at it. You know, people must be tired of seeing us always there. We got to give LeBron another chance.
Crybaby LeBron. Shout out to all my LeBron fans and all of a sudden bandwagon Laker fans that just came out of the woodwork right now.
I'm surprised the Pelicans were eliminated so fast. I actually had high hopes for them, but I've been going a little bit over Zion's history, and it seems he's had an injury on every level virtually, at the professional level, the college level, and the high school level as well, every year, riddled with injuries, or had one big injury. If it's the knees, or maybe he needs to lose a little bit of weight. I know he looks slightly bigger out there. That's just my opinion, though. But when he gets going, though, the man does get going. He's an athletic freak of nature, and to be honest, I know it's a pipe dream, but I wouldn't mind having him on my team, per se. And I do think this kid has a good, solid 10 years left in him, given the right training and the right diet.
You're talking about 10 years in the NBA or the NFL? Because I thought he was playing center for an NFL team.
I got 10 years in the NBA, man. And if you build a solid team around them, I'm not talking about Lonzo Ball, B.I. They're good guys. They have great features, but I just don't believe you can't build a team around them. You got to build a team around Zion, and those guys are not it.
Adding to the NBA news, I want to ask you guys, who do you have for running Rookie of the Year winner? We got Ja Morant, who's been playing for a majority of the season, averaging 18 points, 7 assists, and 4 rebounds. While on the other side, Zion came on strong, averaging 23 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists.
To me, it's all going to depend on the field goal attempts. Not missed games. If J Jay is taking X number of amounts of field goal attempts compared to Zion, that's my MVP. I'm leaning towards Ja, for real. But I know everybody in their mamas, they want Zion to be the next LeBron or the next star, I guess.
But a question for you guys. In your opinion, who is the future of the NBA? Like, is there any other guy but Zion?
Man, no, there isn't. Luka could be, not going to lie, but it's just that European swag, you know what I'm saying? And that doesn't really translate to your street ball baller, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather be Kobe, RP Kobe kind of play than Luka's play.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
With some more news.
Today, the 102nd PGA Championship was won by 23-year-old Colin Morikawa. He's from Southern California and attended California Berkeley, where he began to polish his golfing skills. Morikawa began his PGA Tour career with 22nd consecutive made cuts. Only person to start better, the beginning of an unbelievable streak, none other than Tiger Woods at 25-cut streak. Morikawa Championship win took place in TPC Harding Park, located in the beautiful Lake Merced, San Francisco, California. At the age of 23, he is the third youngest winner of the PGA Championship in stroke play, as well as fourth winner of PGA Championship, joining legends Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Rory McIlroy. San Francisco was an incredible setting for this great event in the lone major of the 2019-20 season. Morikawa purse winnings today total of a whooping $1.98 million along with the Wanamaker Trophy. Second place winners Dustin Johnson and Paul Casey each are taking a cool $970,000 each for tying second. In conclusion, Colin Morikawa moves PGA rankings to number 5 in the world. He now qualifies to play in all major golf tournaments such as the U.S. Open, PGA Championship, WGC Championship, and the most important, the Masters, for the next 5 years. What do you guys think of that?
To be honest, I don't really follow golf that much, but I did see a lot of people that were taking all the parking spots. I actually stayed by Lake Merced, and that pissed me off. I did not even know there was a tournament over there. That's my bad. I mean, Jorge, you just shocked me. I don't know who the guy is. I'm going to actually do my research on that, but I'm glad that it happened right in our backyard here in San Francisco, California.
And how much money did you say he won?
He won a total of 1.98 million, which is essentially easy money.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, easy money right there. Just, you know, I mean, I'm not saying golf is easy, and just a tournament, you won $2 million like that. And on top of that, you know, he has his name up there with some greats. From what you mentioned, you said Tiger Woods, Jack Nicholson. Looks like we're gonna be seeing him, maybe hearing a lot more from him coming up.
I gotta admit, I don't follow much golf either, but any good exposure for the city, great in my book. If he's anything like Tiger Woods, and I hear they have a similar game, you know, can expect great things from him.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Giants lost today to the Dodgers, dropping their overall record to 7-10. JJ, can you share some on the Houston and Oakland A's?
So, as y'all know, a little brawl happened in the A's game. But before we get to that, the A's have the best record in baseball at 12-4, having a 5-game lead in the American League West. They are riding a 9-game winning streak. Then they knocked the Astros down to third place, which, honestly, I'm ready to get my wagon out. I'm going to grease up the wheels. And, you know, I'm going. I got to support any Bay Area team. In my opinion, I really feel like, you know, you just swept the Astros. Yes, you got hit by the ball. Player who was calling him out, see the video, you know, he's telling him to come here, you know, like, but I'm like, dude, you have a 9-game winning streak. You just swept the Astros. You are in the lead in the American League West. You could make it to the World Series that you haven't been in for 30 years. And you risk it all over a little scuffle over getting hit by the ball. I'm like, just the World Series is more important than just getting hit by a ball. I'm like, I get it if he hits you in the face, you know, but hit you in the back. Come on, man up. Now you're in the mercy of the MLB, you know, and whatever they're going to decide to do as your punishment or fines, and you're pretty much risking your somewhat of a season, because it's not going to be a long season, and your lead can just diminish really quick.
That's true. I agree with you, JJ. So the MLB were really strict on players' safety, and brawls and pitchers throwing at batters was one of the number one things on their safety guidelines to avoid these kind of brawls. We are in the middle of a pandemic, so I think it's ridiculous what happened. I think it was unprofessional. You gotta have some common sense. Why would you want to start a brawl? All the players were together. You can see the videos. It's all over the media. It's all over Twitter. It's all over Facebook, Instagram. You don't do that. You're risking everybody's lives.
Any brawls like this, they take that very serious. Especially right now, like you said, during the pandemic, but they're trying to keep everyone safe and social distancing.
Yes. On another note, how about the Astros, huh? They can't cheat no more. Their record right now is just standing. Pelicans, they're 6-9. They've lost 4 in a row. One of their biggest players during this whole cheating scandal that they had, Jose Altuve. He's only batting at an average of 182, 3 home runs, 7 RBIs. That's worse than single A. So that's kind of sad how the cheating scandal, and now you're really questioning the talent of a player like Altuve. It's sad, man. It's the Astros, man, they dug themselves deep, deep in a hole right now. And to everybody that's listening to us, kids, people in general, cheating always comes back no matter what you do. So that's all the news for today. Now let's get into our boom or bust fantasy players for the 2020 season. So to start off our boom and bust segment, the real Jorge.
How's it going, everybody? I'm about to put you guys on some real game. This is coming from a 3-time fantasy champion. My favorite fantasy boom or bust pick, Cooper Kupp out of the LA Rams. He was drafted in third round with pick 69, played for Eastern Washington. In 2017, he had a phenomenal start to his rookie season. He played a total of 15 games, 6 games started, and he had 94 targets, 62 receptions, and gained 869 yards with 5 touchdowns. Expecting a better start to his 2018 season, he was only able to play 8 games. He had a total of 55 targets, 40 receptions, 566 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Unfortunately, his 2018 season ended to an injury. Moving on forward to his 2019 season, he bounced back in a strong way. He played a total of 16 games the whole entire season, had a crazy amount of targets, 134 targets, 94 receptions, also gaining a total of 1,161 yards. So this year, I have to say Cooper Kupp is my boom or bust pick. The reason why, he is Jared Goff's safety blanket, Mr. Reliable. He has strong hands. I want to remind you guys that Cooper Kupp is the number one option for the LA Rams now that Brandon Cooks has departed ways. The roster for the LA Rams is currently Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Josh Reynolds, and with Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett running at the tight end. I want to know what you guys' thoughts is on this.
Well, I agree. It is a boom or bust season for Cooper Kupp. I'm hoping on more of a boom than bust because I'm like you said, you know, Brandon Cook is no longer there. A little bit less mouths to feed down there. And he won me a couple of games last year. I don't like the Rams. I don't like anything to do with LA, but they have weapons. So I'm like, I'm very interested to see what they're going to do. If he can stay healthy and not get injured again, I feel like he can be maybe a top 5 wide receiver in the league. Mari, what you think?
I have to agree with everything Jorge said. Cooper Kupp is the only weapon in the LA Rams this season. Todd Gurley's gone. Brandon Cooks is gone. And like you guys said, he's a Cooper Kupp safety blanket. So I think we can all pretty much agree that Cooper Kupp is Jared Goff's favorite target. But naturally, he will get the bulk, if not all of the love coming his way. So I see him going late second, early third. Grab him if you can. And I'd like to pass it on to my Uncle Rick.
I actually have to disagree with Jorge due to the fact that if you look at the last 4 games of the last season, the Rams ran a 2 tight end set with 2 wide receivers, both on the outside. So Cooper Kupp's numbers diminish a lot. Cooper Kupp is only a quick player within 5 yards area to use all his quickness. I really don't think he's going to have that much of a high floor like he did the last couple of years. Yes, Brandon Cook has left, but once again, look at what the 49ers did against Kupp. Look at what every team is doing against Kupp. Stay close to him within the first 5 yards. He'll get shut down. He's not a burner. He's a player that's very quick within 5 yards. And as much as I like him, I just don't think he's going to have that great of a year. The person that I really like is Woods. Woods is going to have a monster year. And Higbee. Those are the 2 guys they're going to have. They need somebody that can go deep so they can clear all those deep routes that Brandon Cooks did for them. Analytically wise, everything that I'm saying is proven. He's going to be solid. To me, he's Edelman 2.0. He's going to put the numbers regardless, but as far as like boom, to me, he's just going to be doing what he's been doing this whole time. I think the 2 tight ends says that the Rams want to invert. They've seen it, and the NFL is a copycat league. They want to do what the Niners are doing. Everybody wants to do what the 49ers are doing. With that being said, my prediction for Cooper Kupp, 89 receptions, 1,089 yards, and 6 touchdowns. While he's being drafted right now, I will take him in the 3rd round myself, if he's available, maybe 4th round. To me, the main player that I will get was LB Woods. The real Jorge on his predictions of his stats.
For Cooper Kupp, he's going to definitely gain 100 receptions, eclipse 1,000 yards, and match his double-digit touchdown season that he had last year. I feel like he's going to be one of the top wide receivers this season in the NFL. And I have to say that if people sleep on Cooper Kupp in the first 2 rounds, he's definitely a steal in the 3rd round. With that being said, JJ, what's your take on this?
I actually agree with you. I feel like since he is the main weapon down there, he is going to get a lot of the double coverage and all that. But but he will surpass the 100 receptions. I want to say maybe a good 130. I completely agree with you, like, on everything, bro. He's going to pass a 1,000-yard receiving year. On the touchdowns, I'm a little worried. I don't think he'll have the same double digits as he did last year, but, you know, I think it'll be very close. How about you, Mario? What do you think?
I have to agree that he will definitely get his love, his share of love down in LA. I see him going for his 80 to 100 receptions easy, going over 1,000 yards and maybe 8 to 10 touchdowns, 11 being the ceiling. But yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. I would definitely snag him up late second, early third. Snag him up if you could. He's a solid option at wide receiver. If not, he's a damn good flex. Take it from your favorite doctor.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
So now we're going to the doctor again. Take it away.
My boomer bust pick this year happens to be none other than NFL superstar Odell Beckham Jr. Reason why I pick Odell Beckham Jr. to be my boomer bust pick this year is due to the fact that his production hasn't been the same after his first 3 years with the New York Giants. However, I have to add that Odell had a change at quarterback this past year after being traded from the New York Giants to the Cleveland Browns to join his college alumni, Jarvis Landry. Also want to add that Odell Beckham, the first 3 years while in New York, he managed to score double-digit touchdowns on his first three seasons with the New York Giants. After that, falling to one digits, 2017, three touchdowns after that gruesome leg injury he suffered. 2018, the big comeback, six touchdowns. 2019, four touchdowns. That's why Odell Beckham is my boomer bust pick, not to mention the guy he has under center throwing him the rock at all times, Baker Mayfield. I do not trust him. Get him out of there. He is not the answer. He's surrounded by so many weapons and not know what to do with them. You have David Njoku, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. Jesus, dude, he can't get points. Come on. That's why Odell Beckham is my boomer bust pick. That being said, I'd like to get the opinion on the three-time back-to-back-to-back fantasy football champion, put some respect on his name, Lorio Jorge.
Thank you, Dr. Mario. I'm very humbled by your statements. I have to disagree with you, Mario, simply for the fact when he began his career with the New York Giants as a rookie, not playing an entire full season, he was able to gain 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. It takes a special type of athlete to get that. Following his next two seasons in New York, he never failed to get double-digit touchdowns and also never failed to get 1,000 yards. Unfortunately, his game has stepped down recently, been injured a lot, but if he's able to get healthy in Cleveland and Baker Mayfield is able to find some type of tempo with him, I think they could be really dangerous on the field. So I want to pass it to Rock. Rick, what do you think on this?
Odell Beckham wants to be Hollywood. He's more interested in IG followers, Twitter followers, being on the spotlight for the wrong reasons. I get it. Wide receivers are divas. So I understand. Selfish? Yeah. Remember the one picture where they were somewhere in Florida 3 days before they had to go play the Green Bay Packers in below zero weather? They were in a boat party. Who does that? If you wanted more, you wouldn't have done that. If you're really all about winning and about the team, you wouldn't have done that. Tom Brady, locks in his hotel room, starts the game plan, starts the defenses. As far as stats speak for themselves, as Dr. Mario and the real Jorge have said. I just don't think he's ever going to be the same player. Yes, Mario, this is a boom or bust year. To me, he's a bust. So with that, I'd like to pass it to my colleague, JJ.
For me, I was never a fan of OBJ. I'm like, yes, you know, he has the skills. He had the quickness. He has the hands, most definitely. We all know that. But I really felt like, you know, I got blown out the water from that one amazing catch he did. Everyone wanted to have OBJ's hair. You know, his fantasy points in 2014, altogether in the season, 204, 2015, 223, 2016, 195. And after that, that's where it kind of fell down in 2017 with 49. He got injured. I know that. 2018, he picked it up a little bit, 153, 2019, 127. I'm like, he's dropped a lot. I feel like he's going to be more bust than boom this season. I don't know if he's going to have that chemistry with Baker Mayfield. I just don't believe in him this season. Drafting him this season, I would say he would have to fall somewhere for me, late third round, maybe early fourth round. He might go earlier than that just because it's a big name, bro. I'm like, I don't blame people for taking him earlier, but if I'm going to take someone in the second round, I want to make sure I'm gaining my value for it because this is a second round pick. I say the top four picks is what really makes your teams. You know, the first four picks define your team. And for me, unless he falls in the fourth round, I'm going to say he's going to have 70 receptions, barely missed the 1,000-yard mark, and maybe have like a 8-touchdown season. How about you, Dr. Mario? What you think?
I predict him averaging maybe 70 to 80 receptions. As I said, his production wasn't what it once was. I have to agree with you on the part where it says if I'm going to draft someone in the second round, I better be getting my value's worth. I wouldn't draft him higher than the third round, but like you said, he is a household name. He's a big name. You hear Odell Beckham, you think star, you think points, you think touchdowns. So he would probably be going, I would say, late first, early second. However, I would personally go from after the third round. I predict them having 80 receptions, 6 to 9 touchdowns. Like I said, look who's throwing him the ball. There's a lot of love that has to go around. He hasn't seen those double-digit touchdowns since the year 2016 before he suffered the gruesome leg injury. And with that being said, I'm going to pass it over to my Uncle Rick.
Man, they sure got a lot of weapons in Cleveland. I'm going to give him 81 receptions, 989 yards, and 8 touchdowns. I hope he proves everybody wrong. With that being said, I'd like to pass it to the real Jorge.
I believe he's going to go in the early 4th round. He fell off as of late, and I believe that a lot of people are going to be discouraged from his play. However, I have to say that business is booming here, and grab Odell whenever he's available, because I do believe he's going to get 100 receptions, 1,000 yards, and get close to double-digit touchdowns. And I believe he's definitely going to be a good pick this year for your fantasy football draft.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Great take, you guys. Now we're going to go to JJ for his 2020 boom or bust fantasy pick this year.
All right, so my boom or bust player falls in the category barely, because he still had a decent season last year. But nonetheless, I'm talking about Stephon Diggs. He was drafted in 2015 by the Minnesota Vikings with the 146th pick. And since then, he always had good fantasy stats, you know, at least a lot of touchdowns. The last stats I have here from 2018, he had 10 games with double-digit fantasy points. Last year, he only had 4 games with double-digit fantasy points. And had like a total of 130, 140 points. Like, it's not that much of a difference, but I'm like, if you drafted him last year, he pretty much only won you 2 games where he had 36 points and 18, and everything else after that was 3, 8, 1, 8, 4, 36, 1, 4, 18. If you drafted him somewhere around the 2nd round, you know you were disappointed. But I am actually saying that he's going to boom this year, because being traded to the Bills, it's like a dream right now, because there was too many mouths to feed in Minnesota with the Vikings. You had Thielen, Rudolph, Cook, you know, too many mouths to feed. You know, in the Bills, who do you have? John Brown, Gabriel Davis, Cole Beasley, Robin Foster, Devin Singletary, TJ Yeldon. I'm like, him going to the Bills, he's going to stand out from all the players on that field. I'm like, you saw what he did to New Orleans, even though there's a lot on the defense fault for missing that tackle. But I feel like this is a win move for him going to the Bills. We all know that Cousins doesn't like to throw the ball deep. You know, he likes some short passes. Now being down there with Josh Allen, he likes throwing it deep, you know. So I see Stephon Diggs having a good, I want to say, 10 games with over double digits in fantasy points. You know, I feel like he'll win you a couple games. I feel like Diggs will boom this season. I know he's going to fall on the draft. He's like wide receiver 30, somewhere around there. I'm like, if he falls to me in the 4th round, I'm definitely picking up Diggs, bro. He's going to have a monster season. Like I said, he's going to stand out from that herd of receivers and running back. He's going to be the number one receiver in Buffalo. Trust me, he's going to win a lot of games this year. He will finish with at least 150 receiving yards, close to 1,400 yards, and at least 12 or 13 touchdowns this season. What do you think about Stephon Diggs?
I have to agree with you. Stephon Diggs for me would be a boomer bust pick. Stephon Diggs in my eyes has always been a very talented receiver. However, he was cursed by Kirk Cousins becoming his quarterback. Unfortunately, the relationship between Diggs and Captain Kirk never quite got the traction it needed to get going. With a fresh start and a brand new team, Stephon Diggs, it could be just the spark he needs to get his career back on track again and get going. I'm excited to see what him and Josh Allen could do on the field in a new system. Cole Beasley and John Brown there, this should make him a pretty formidable threat, and I'm excited to see the production they come up with this season. And my stats for Stephon Diggs this season are probably 80 to 90 receptions, 13 touchdowns, and I think it goes over 1,000 yards. I see Stephon Diggs going maybe, I want to say late 3rd, early 4th. Yeah, if you're feeling lucky, maybe like the 4th round.
Bullshit.
And I'm going to pass the rock over to my boy, the real Jorge.
Thank you for that, Mario. Adding on to Stephon Diggs, I definitely think he's going to have a booming season as well. The reason why is because moving on to the Buffalo Bills could be the best thing that's happened to his career. Down in Minnesota, he wasn't comfortable in the wide receiver situation he was put in. He was wanting to get more targets as a wide receiver 1, but that was owned by Adam Thielen. Stephon Diggs in Buffalo, I could see him getting a lot of deep throws from Josh Allen, who has the strongest arm in the NFL. And Stephon Diggs is definitely one of the fastest wide receivers in the NFL. NFL, which makes a good combo for a lot of fantasy points. I want to say that Stephon Diggs is going to get close to 100 receptions, definitely over 1,000 yards, and could possibly get double-digit touchdowns this year as well. So look out for Stephon Diggs in the earlier rounds, possibly the third or the fourth. With that, I want to finish off and pass it to Rick Rock.
Are we talking about the receiver that was as much of a diva as Odell Beckham? Are you guys talking about the wide receiver that just got traded from the Vikings to the Buffalo Bills? Are you guys talking about the wide receiver that has to play against Bill Belichick twice a year? Oh, yeah, and then I mentioned he has to play 2 games against Stephon Gilmore, 2 games against Xavier Howard, and, of course, 2 games against Baron Jones. Wow. So, and then I mentioned Josh Allen, horrible accuracy when it comes to downfield passes. I just don't think Stephon Diggs are going to put up most numbers. My thing for me is, you guys know me very well now, I'm all about analytics. When it comes to numbers, I go beyond those kind of numbers. So, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, not a top running back behind the O-line. All you got to do is double down Diggs all day. And let's be honest, if he's going to get Stephon Gilmore, Gilmore's going to shut him down. My prediction for him is going to be 73 receptions for 787 yards, 7 touchdowns. If he was to get drafted anywhere past the 5th round, I'm all in on that.
You're fired.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Now, I'm going to go to my boom or bust player, Juju Smith-Schuster. Everybody knows number one thing that happened to him is that he lost Big Ben. Season pretty much went downhill from there. The reason why, to me, he's on this list, he has not done anything due to the injuries that he's had, the fact that he lost Big Ben. AB made Juju. Juju has a lot of talent. But when you talk about numbers, when you talk about fantasy, before AB got traded to the Raiders, there were a lot of questions about Juju. Can Juju be that X receiver on the outside like AB? A lot of people had those questions. A lot of people were overdrafting Juju, hoping he does good. He goes back to the season where he had 166 targets with 111 receptions, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns. Jeez, that's with Antonio Brown on the team. Imagine that. Now, this year, Big Ben is back from a major surgery, but there's also a report that 2020 will be the last year of Juju in Pittsburgh. He's 23 years old. I mean, are the Steelers going to really let him go? How confident are you about Juju now? Where is he going to land? Is it a make it? I got to get a contract somewhere. I got to make sure I ball out kind of year. Or let me just get through the season without getting hurt, put up some decent stats, and wait to go to another team. Juju's the number one wide receiver. I know they drafted Deontay Johnson, who played injured. They have James Washington. I know they have Claypool, who they drafted. They just signed Eric Ebron, tight end. They also have Vance McDonald, who we know very well, playing for the 49ers. Their defense is pretty solid. It's not like they're going to be giving up points and they have to come back from behind. Pittsburgh defense is solid. So my predictions for Juju are 78 receptions, 957 yards, 8 touchdowns. If he's available anywhere after the 5th round, I'm picking him up. Give me some more Juju in the 5th round. I hope he does good. With that being said, pass it on to my doctor now, Dr. Mario.
Thanks for that, Rick. I have to agree with you with Juju being a boom or bust pick. We haven't quite seen the same production from him ever since Antonio Brown left the Pittsburgh Steelers. It can all be on Juju, though, however, seeing as you mentioned earlier, he was without a star quarterback, Big Ben. However, I am shocked to hear the news about him potentially not resigning or not coming back to Pittsburgh. Juju Smith is definitely a boom or bust pick in my eyes. I do see him getting double covered often. I don't foresee too many touchdowns in his future. Big Ben's coming back, but keep in mind he's coming off of elbow surgery. Keep in mind also that age is also another determining factor in how he will play his career moving forward, and perhaps the elbow also affects his accuracy. Juju does qualify as a boomer bust pick for me. I see him going in the late 4th, early 5th. However, there's always those inexperienced players that will draft him in the 3rd or 2nd, so be on the lookout for those. And I would definitely find other alternatives as possible if you do land Juju or trade him as soon as possible. That being said, I'm going to pass it on to my colleague, the back-to-back champion, my man, JJ.
I think Juju is going to have a very, very horrible season. He's going to be a biggest bust all year. He'll be the number one bust. Feel like what made him look good the first couple of seasons was the fact that you had Antonio Brown there, bro. So he was getting most of the coverages, all the looks, all the doubles. So, you know, Juju's wide open, bro. It made him look good. We all see it now that Antonio Brown is gone. And on top of that, Le'Veon Bell left. Was Antonio Brown getting double coverage, or everyone was trying to, you know, stop Le'Veon Bell? Now it's only pretty much Juju there with Connor. Big Ben only has like 1 or 2 seasons left. Don't jump on that train. Don't draft him. Avoid him. Falls somewhere in, like, I would say 5th round, I would go for him. He won't make it that far down because someone's gonna pick him up. I know that. Go for someone else, you know, anyone else. I predict them having between 60 to 80 receptions. He'll fall shy of the 1,000-yard mark, and I don't see him making maybe more than 6 touchdowns. And now back to my colleague, the real Jorge.
For Juju Smith's predictions this year, I have him getting 70 receptions, 700 yards. I believe he's going to be one of the biggest busts. I have to agree with JJ on this one, even though Juju Smith is one of the most explosive wide receivers in the NFL. Now that he's covered as a wide receiver one, he doesn't know how to get open a lot. And also Big Ben, his game has declined a lot, maybe to the rock bottom of his career. And this year might be the year that will get him into retirement.
So now, with that being said, thank you guys for listening to Ice Up Football. I'd like to take my panel, The Real Jorge, Dr. Mario, JJ. Thank you guys. Appreciate you guys listening to our podcast, Ice Up Fantasy, where we're going to give you nothing but facts, numbers, stats, and the right information that you guys are going to love. See you until next time. Sipping on some rock tuss, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat tuss, 8 o'clock. This is Ice Up Fantasy.